Right, we're turning to John again, John chapter 16, and we'll commence at verse 7. These are the words of the Lord Jesus, and we read here, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for I go not away. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father." Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher with Let the Bible Speak, Canada. I appreciate this opportunity to bring the Lord's Word today, and we're continuing with our subject on the absolute necessity of knowing the indwelling and empowering of the Holy Spirit to live a victorious and consistent Christian life. This is indeed our victory. The tragedy is in our land today that Christianity is reduced to an ism, a philosophy, a set of rules, just church membership, when it is much, much more. It is Christ. Christ in us, the hope of glory. It is Christ in you that lives as a living person. And that is ministered to you, the Lord Jesus is ministered to you by the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of Christ. Now, to many, this is a confusing, almost stay away from type of message. And people don't like to get into mentioning the Holy Spirit too much, lest they are considered to be too radical, too hyper-Pentecostal or charismatic. And indeed, at times, I have been accused of that. Some people thought that I was a Presbyterian Pentecostal. And it is sad that people of the Reformed persuasion or Presbyterian persuasion do not preach nor teach nor rely upon the Holy Spirit as they ought. Now, that is not true in the history of the Christian church, because the Puritans, who were Reformed, also made great strives to teach on the Holy Spirit that people would live the Christian life in power. And of course, you can't read the book of Acts, you can't read the New Testament without being convinced that the ministry of the Holy Spirit was very, very much to the fore and vital. And so I want to set before you today in this message, part two of the message, on the indwelling and empowering of the Spirit, that this is something you must seek, or you cannot live the Christian life as you should. You cannot be that Christian father, husband, wife, or mother as you ought to be. And so I appeal to you today to take this to heart. Look up the Scriptures. Get into the Word. And may the Lord minister to your heart today as we let the Bible speak on the personal indwelling and ministry of God, the Holy Spirit, to the individual Christian. There is this indwelling of the Spirit in the Lord Jesus. That's amazing. It's wonderful. It's blessed. And so he is so related to the Lord Jesus that he is called the Spirit of Christ. He belongs to him. He is sent by him. He indwelt him. And now that Jesus is gone to heaven, he is the vicar in the place of the Lord Jesus. So it's his work to be the revealer, to be the one who reveals the glory of the Lord Jesus. Third reason, because the Holy Spirit is granted us on the account of Christ's redeeming work. Let's go to Galatians 3 and verse 13. On the cross, by his sacrifice and his atonement, by answering the curse, the Lord Jesus bought the right of your body to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Let's read the verses now. Galatians 3:13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Can you see the chain connection there? The Lord Jesus was made a curse for us to redeem us. And then verse 14, that in order that the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. In order that he might receive the promise of the Spirit. So the right or the possibility of the Holy Spirit ministering to us has been purchased by our Lord Jesus at the cross. And so it's his work now. Christ purchased the title deed of his children who are redeemed by the blood to be indwelt and to be ministered to by the Holy Spirit. And of course, the Lord Jesus has commanded the Holy Spirit to do this work. Let's go back to John again. John 15 and verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, the Holy Spirit, of course, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Now that word testify in verse 26, it's the Greek word martyrio, martyr, a witness. And so this is the ministry of the Spirit. It's God given by the Father, and it's given by the Son. And it's his work. It's his office. It's his ministry to reveal the things of the Lord Jesus and to minister to every one of our hearts. And for this we are to pray. And as this is a prayer meeting, we need to take to heart that it is right, indeed it is absolutely essential, that the Christian
one by one prays earnestly that the Spirit of God, who was sent by the Father, promised by the Son, purchased by the blood of Jesus on the cross, that He truly ministers to us and through us. That is biblical praying. Let's go to Ephesians 1 and we'll see how Paul the Apostle prayed this. Ephesians 1 and verse 17. You'll notice in verse 16 that he's on his knees praying. I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. So this is a help to us tonight as we pray. If we want to know how to pray, especially in relation to the Holy Spirit's ministry, here is a tremendous example for us. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the Spirit. Now, I know that in our authorized version, it is not an uppercase S. And this is one of the challenges in translation, because in the Greek language, there are no capitals for personal pronouns. And the translator bears the responsibility of what to capitalize and what not in the English language. And very often, the AV translators did. But as you read this and you read the whole context of it, this is no one else's office, no one else's position, but to be the Holy Spirit. That he may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, I remember the office of the Lord Jesus is to testify, to reveal the Lord Jesus, to shine the light upon the Savior. The word revelation here is apocalypsis. It is the stage where the curtain is drawn aside. And you may have been seated in a school auditorium where a play or a drama is taking place and the curtain is drawn and you can hear the rumblings in the background and the lights flashing and you don't have any idea what's going on behind that curtain. But then there's the moment the music starts, the curtain draws aside, and it is all opened up. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. And he does that constantly, reminding us, teaching us, revealing to us the very wonders of the Lord Jesus, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And again, translators wrestle with this one. It means discernment. It means to acknowledge. It means that you get it. It means that it sinks in. And of course, that's the preacher's problem. I fear there's many times I preach and people don't get it. Doesn't sink in. And they wonder, what was that all about? But the Holy Spirit enables the weakest, least Christian, even the newest Christian. You think of the hours or the days after your conversion. What reality you had in hours or days after conversion. That is the Spirit's work. That is not natural human effort. That is the work of the Spirit to enlighten and to work. Now, I want to read down to the end of the chapter because it's very thorough here what Paul is praying for. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. All of these things, the Spirit of God enables us to grasp it. We get a hold of it, and it sinks in, and it becomes what we truly expect. And then verse 20, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that all in all. So we need to grasp that our Lord Jesus is exalted, seated at the right hand of God. He is the head over the church. And the Holy Spirit is down here in the world with us. And His ministry is to constantly reveal and give us grace to understand the gospel. One more text. It's back in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 14. And you'll notice that the Holy Spirit is the promise of the gospel. Galatians 3:14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Ah, did you notice the translators put the uppercase S in this one? The promise of the Holy Spirit through faith. And there's the means that the Holy Spirit uses. And we may take that up next week. The means by which the Holy Spirit operates. But if He's going to reveal and give us clear understandings that we grasp the glory that is in our Lord, He gives us faith to take it in. The eyes of our understanding being opened. And we are able to receive by faith. What an amazing gift faith is. And you'll see it is a gift here. That ye might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Faith is the channel. Faith is the means by which this certainty and assurance comes into our hearts and souls. And we talk about people being full of faith. Being full of assurance, that is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to emphasize in closing that the Holy Spirit doesn't add anything at all to the Lord Jesus Himself. He is what He is. He is God. He is the second person of the Trinity. He is equal to the Father. He is glorious in holiness. But we need eyes to know it, to see Him. Now, one day we will see the Lord not by faith, but with our physical eyes. We will see Him face to face. And we'll see the glory that is in Him. Until then, we are dependent upon the Spirit of God to reveal and stir up our hearts to rest and rejoice in the Lord Jesus. And just as you probably have seen this many times, a painting or a statue figure of some hero, and there's a light on it in a gallery or a museum. There's a spotlight on that figure or that painting. And the light accentuates, it draws the eye to consider the right features or proportions of the person. That's the work of the Spirit. And without the Spirit of the Lord, we would have very low views of the Lord. We would lose interest in Him. We would grow cold toward Him. But when we are full of faith and the Spirit of God is stirring our hearts, then we love him whom having not seen, we love. And that love is stoked and our hearts are drawn to him all the more. So we leave it there tonight. This is the work and ministry of the Spirit, and we need to pray much for it. We need to pray for that personally. We need to pray that for every soul that comes through the doors of the church. We think of those who come as visitors, strangers to us at first. We don't know anything about where they're at spiritually. We don't know what they know or don't know. Maybe they've been in a cult. Maybe they've been in some false religion. Maybe they've been atheists. Maybe they've just come in out of curiosity. And it's the Spirit's work to reveal the Lord Jesus to individual hearts. And we need to pray for that. We need to pray for that earnestly, because all our preaching is very low-key, very powerless, without the ministry of the Spirit. Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak. This again is Ian Gallagher, and I hope that you have been helped today in this message on the Holy Spirit. I know that I have been, as I have looked into this afresh, and it has reaffirmed and strengthened me in the conviction that this is real Christianity. It is not human philosophy alone. It is the truth set on fire in the believer's heart by the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit. And what a difference that makes, that we're not living in the emptiness of our own strength. We're not living in our mere self-will and self-power. It is God working in us by his Spirit each and every day and each and every hour. Now, what did you think of that point that Christ is the head and the Holy Spirit is here on earth? As the head, the Lord is now in heaven. He is reigning on the throne. He is commanding the blessing. And the application of those blessings, it is the ministry of the Holy Spirit to effect it, to carry it out here on earth in the hearts of those whom the Lord will save, the Lord will keep, and the Lord will one day bring into glory. So every step of the Christian's life is really the amazing work of the Holy Spirit. And then I hope that you also wrote down Galatians 3 verse 14, because this is so clear and so important, that the Holy Spirit is the promise of the gospel. And it is through the gospel, through Christ, that we are given the Holy Spirit to live the life of faith. And we receive the Spirit's ministry by faith, and the Holy Spirit works faith within our hearts. And faith is the gift of God. And so as we pray for faith, we're praying for the operation of the Spirit of God in our own hearts. But then also, let's think about our fellow believers. You might think of someone in your church or in your fellowship that is weak and struggling. Pray that the Holy Spirit ministers to that believer. Pray that they may be indwelt and infilled with the Spirit, and that they are not
just living the Christian life in their own weakness, rather that we have power, the wonderful power of the Holy Spirit. Then think of your preacher. Think of the one who is your spiritual shepherd, who is praying for you, ministering to you in the Word constantly. Pray for your pastor that he will be given great strength and ability to minister to each and every one of his people, because pastors can be worn thin. We've got many people to care for, many needs and prayer requests and illnesses. I'm often surprised in our own congregation how many are facing surgeries, medical needs, following up on managing medical issues. And these are constant prayer requests and needs. And then there is the spiritual battle that is going on as we seek to minister to men and women to keep them going forward, not retreating, that they may be strong in the Lord, overcoming every temptation. And when a pastor gets a phone call of someone asking prayer, pray for me because I feel I'm tempted, that in itself is a burden that pastor needs to take to the Lord, and maybe will even guide his ministry in the weeks to come. Not mentioning any names, but conscious that people are dealing with these things, and we need messages that are straight from the Lord. So let's unite in prayer for a moment. Father, we come to thee today with thanksgiving that we do have the help of God the Holy Spirit in all the variables of pastoring God's people. And Lord, we think of those that are burdened today, and there are infirmities in the body. There is perhaps depression and a sense of being overwhelmed in mind. There are many people that are really burdened, and I pray today that you will give the victory. We also pray that you will give pastors power to preach in the Spirit right to the heart needs of the people. Oh Lord, let us not be so caught up with some kind of knowledge and information that we miss the needs of God's own people. Let it be so, O Lord, we pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We are on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188th Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.